Somebody raise a hallelujah in this place today. Come on. Let me just talk about that for a second. See, here's the deal is, like, worship isn't something that we just do when we show up at church. For those of us who love God and love his presence, like, we worship God. I worship God at home. And in fact, some of the most intense praise and worship I have is at my house. But there is an aspect of worship that, honestly, there's a word in the Old Testament, the word is halal, and the word halal actually means like loud and boisterous praise. It means like uninhibited, and I get that. But honestly, there's a side of that that, like, I can do that at my house, and occasionally I have, but really, the best place for me to do that is when I come together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And like we together start to raise our voice to God because he's the God that always causes us to triumph and where we can begin to shout hallelujah and praise to his name. And that boisterous praise goes up before him. Let me just tell you, he gives us the victory. So will somebody in this place shout hallelujah for the victory with me today? Come on. Will you praise him today? We love you, Lord. Hallelujah to your holy name. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. And I love to praise him. I'm glad you're here today. We're a second week into a message series that honestly could have been like a 16-week message series. And we're cramming probably one of the biggest stories of the entire Old Testament into 3 weeks. And next week, Pastor Tori's going to be preaching here next Sunday. You're going to want to be here. Seriously, there's going to be a day in the future where you're going to be able to say, I was there when he was preaching at Christ Church, and it was just like the second Sunday he preached at the church. It's going to be awesome. And it's awesome to have his mom and dad with us this morning. Welcome them to Christ Church. Okay, so we started to talk about Abraham, or Abram. His story starts out as Abram, and that God has a plan and a purpose for his life. There's a call on him that's greater than what he can see or what he knows. And there's a passage, and when we're to look into Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and you can look on the handout with me, or you can open up your Bible or your message app and take a look at that. But there's a passage where God has a conversation with him, and it's pretty well into his story at this point. But he has this conversation, and I'd like for us to start there again, because this is where we started last week, Genesis 22. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Now, one of the things that I said last week, and I've been trying to stress to you, is that there are principles in the Bible, there are promises in the Bible that are very specific to some people. But while we might not be able to claim the exact promise, we can claim the principle behind it. There's a principle here, and the principle is that God had told Abram that he was going to make him great, that his family would be great. And today, I'm here to remind you of the principle that God has a great promise for your future, that there's something that he wants to do in your future and through you and in you that is great. There's greatness that hangs over your head from the voice of God into your life, and some of it I don't think we've even seen yet. But here's what he says to Abram. He says, I want to remind you, as your story's going on, your descendants will be as numbered as the stars in the sky. Last week we had everybody look up, everybody look up, everybody look up and see the stars in the sky and just say, it's great. Great. Now look down at your feet and take a look at where your feet are and say, it's great. Because here's what he says, look up into the stars in the sky. They're beyond what you can number. And what God wants to do is greater than that. And then he says, look down where your feet are. Because see, there's a correlation. There's where we're standing right now is not disconnected from the promise of our future. Where we're standing right now, actually somehow like God's working in it. He's still doing great things right where we are. And sometimes we can't even see it, but he's still doing some great things. And those things that he's doing right now, they're going to take us. They're going to carry us to the stars that he has ahead of us. Somebody say amen today. Amen. And let me just say, for your life uniquely, and your life individually, I believe that. But I believe that for our church, maybe more than I've ever believed it in my entire life. I believe that 2020 is going to be the greatest year of Christ Church of Orlando. You might want to, you might just want to settle in to believe in God's going to do something great. Amen. Because He is, I'm convinced, going to do it. So today I began to look at this message. And after looking at last week's message, we were talking last week about the story of Abram doesn't start with Abram. It actually starts with his father, as your story starts with your father, and your story is connected to your children. Like, we're all kind of interconnected, and our story with God is all kind of interconnected. But Abram's father, decides that he is going to go from the land of Ur into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. So he gets up and begins to pack and goes, starts to move forward. And the sad thing about it is he has three sons. One son dies. He ends up landing in a place that really has the same name as his son that had passed. And he ends up living there really in a place of grief for 205 years. 205 years he's stuck. And we began to talk last week about getting unstuck in our lives, that many of us, we're in a place in our life where we're just stuck. There are things that have caused us to get stuck. Sometimes it's grief. Sometimes we're grieving a relationship. Sometimes we're grieving the miss of a job. Sometimes we're grieving an action that somebody's done towards us, but we get stuck in a place. And many of us just resign ourselves that this is what the rest of our life is going to look like. And that's exactly what happened to Terah, Abram's father. He lived the rest of his life there. And then finally, his dad dies after being there for 205 years. And God reminds Abram that there's a plan and a path for him and challenges him to get up. And he decides he's going to start to move to Canaan, the place where they originally were going to go, the promised land. I don't care how long you've been stuck, and I don't care if it was your dad that got you stuck. I don't care if it was your family that got you stuck, or your last pastor, or your friends. I don't care how you got stuck. I don't care if it was your addiction. Listen, there's still a promise, a word from the Lord for you. Get up, because there's a promised land ahead of you. I'll just say it again. Get up, because there's a promised land ahead of you. There's still a future that God has for you. Get up to see the work of the Lord. And so Abram begins to do that. Now, here's the interesting thing that we do know. We know that while there is a promise, there's a process that gets us to the promise. And many times what we want, honestly, like, I really do want God just to get me to the promise. Just get me there, God. God's most often really interested in the process. Because what happens in the process is God begins to deal with things in my life. He begins to have conversations with me here in the process while my feet are touching sand before I ever get to the stars. Because if I don't deal with some of the things I have to deal with, then ultimately when I get to that place, I won't be truly equipped. I won't really be able to manage it, because you want the cracks in your character. You want the things that maybe could take you down. You want them to be elevated earlier, so that before you have the possibility of losing everything and losing the dream, you can deal with it here. So many times God wants to deal with the things in our life. We're unstuck. We're ready to move forward. But this is one of the things that begins to happen in his life. And I want you to read with me in Genesis, the 12th chapter. Are you ready? Genesis, the 12th chapter. Abram's moving forward. But in the 12th chapter, in the 10th verse, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. So there was circumstances that were really out of his control that caused him to start to move in a different direction. He was heading towards Canaan, but now, because of the circumstances, he's deterred, he's derailed, he's moving in another direction, and he ends up going down to Egypt. Verse number 11, and it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. When I read that, honestly, I'm always kind of humored, because generally when a husband and a wife are having that conversation and a man is telling his wife that she's beautiful, generally it is not really in the King James Elizabethan kind of context. O fairest of 10,000, thou art more beautiful than all others. Your countenance is beautiful. Honestly, and just to put it in real context, I really think the conversation was like, baby, you are fine. You know? Seriously. And honestly, if you got my attention, you're going to get some other guy's attention. So let's have a conversation. And that's where it kind of picks up right there. They will know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, it's interesting. Again, it's all in the inflection. This is his wife. That's not the way I'm like, I think there's a question mark after that. This is his wife? You know, it's like, we cannot believe. How did he snag that? You know, seriously, she married so beneath herself. But they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me and let you live. And the idea is they would kill him so they could take her to themselves. So please say that you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake. Isn't that amazing? Like, this is good for you, and that I may live because of you. So here's the interesting thing. He could lose his life because of her, or he could keep his life because of her. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. And the princes of Pharaoh saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, and female donkeys and camels. Okay, so Pharaoh begins to treat Abram well. Now, I want to talk about this for a few moments because I think that there's something that we could really move past quickly, because we understand that he's making some mistakes here. He's taken some conversations on that I don't know that I would, or and maybe I would. But the interesting thing about this is at the beginning of this story, God tells him, I will make you great. I'm going to give you increase. In blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. And so now he's in a place where he never really thought he would be. He was heading to Canaan, ends up in Egypt, and yet it doesn't diminish the promise of God on him. God still blesses him, and Pharaoh starts to give him oxen. He starts to give him cattle. He gives him donkeys. He blesses him even though he might not be in the best position. God's promises are still real. They are yes and amen. And so he treated him well. Verse number 17, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that they had. Okay, so the interesting thing here, as far as I'm concerned, is that when I read that and it says, it could look like God's punishing Pharaoh, but he's not punishing Pharaoh. He's alerting Pharaoh that there's something wrong in this mix. And Pharaoh doesn't follow God, so he's not hearing the voice of God. So what God does is he speaks to him in the way Pharaoh could hear him. He speaks to him in his circumstances. And he says that there's something not right in this circumstance. And finally, Pharaoh catches on to what's happening. And he goes to Abram and he says, like, why did you put me in this position? Like, I had no idea. And honestly, I could have ended up in a real fix here. But somehow, I've ended up in this place. So you're going to have to go on. And so Abram, he had made his mind up not to be stuck anymore. He's moving on from being stuck. But then now he's dealing with something in this story. It's something that many of us deal with. In fact, I would say it's something that all of us deal with at some point in our life. And it might not be in every point, but it's someplace in our life all of us deal with insecurity. All of us deal with places where we might not be unstuck. We're ready to move forward, but then all of a sudden we're confronted, we're placed in a circumstance where we become unsure of ourselves, where we become unsure of the circumstances, maybe not because of something we've even done, but just because we're in this circumstance, it brings out this insecurity. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a place where God is elevating a conversation in Abraham's life that you're going to be the father of a great nation. And so I want to talk to you before you get to that place. I'm going to deal with your insecurity. I'm going to deal with that place where you are unsure of yourself. And each of us, we have to deal with it. And it's not just us, and it's not just Abram. It's down through history. Remember when God speaks to Moses and he says, you're going to go down to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And immediately Moses' response is like, I can't do that. I stutter. And his insecurity comes to surface immediately. There's another story in the Bible, about a man by the name of Gideon. And the first thing that God says to Gideon is he says to him, you are a mighty warrior. And Gideon's response is, I'm the least of my clan, and my clan is the least in Manasseh. Like, I'm the least of anybody. How can you say that? And yet God had designated, God had a promise on his life. He had a plan for his life, and God had designated him to be great. And yet it's his insecurity that comes to surface. Many of us, we walk in our life and maybe there's an arena where we're very confident. We have a great sense of confidence in one skill set. And yet when it comes to another area in our life, all of a sudden there's something that comes up, and that place of insecurity has the potential to undermine even the places of success of our life. Many years ago, I had a friend of mine who I loved, and I was great friends with both him and his wife, and we hung out all the time. She was an artist and musician, and after a while, there was something kind of odd that started taking place in our friendship, and he just started pulling back, and it took about 10 years later, after they had moved away, he called me one day, and he said, listen, I just wanted to call and apologize to you, and I was like, what's the deal? And he said, first of all, he was really good looking. He was involved in the medical field. He made great money. He was really in shape. Honestly, he was bright, had an awesome personality. He said, every time I got around you, I was so insecure because you were a musician and an artist, and my wife was a musician and an artist. And he said, like, I had so many other good things going on, but that undermined who I was the whole time I was around you. And so it's amazing to me that there are places in our life where we can really be confident and really excel, and yet there is a place of insecurity where we're unsure of ourselves, and it has the potential to really derail us. There are three things that I think feed insecurity. Here's the first one. It's rejection. Many of us have walked through rejection. And I'm not just talking about one rejection where somebody turns you down and they're not going to go out to dinner with you. I'm talking about over the course of a lifetime, long-term rejection, where somebody rejects your love, or where somebody rejects who you are, or somebody doesn't accept you, and they make it a meaningful rejection. Many of us, we've walked in rejection. Many of you have walked in rejection from a parent. They've not loved you the way you needed to be loved, and you've sensed rejection in your life. Some from a spouse, some from someone on your job. Many of you are carrying hurts and insecurities into your adult life over something that somebody said on a playground when you were in seventh grade, and that rejection on a playground in seventh grade has carried away, and it undermines places in your future because you're now unsure of yourself. Insecurity is fed by rejection. The second thing is that feeds insecurity is criticism. Criticism, honestly, like a well-placed criticism, it can undermine the most confident person. And there are some people that seem to be very skilled at being critical. And if you're a very secure person, you might be really secure in one area, and then somebody comes along and they're very critical in another area of your life, and it will undermine other areas of your life. And let me just tell you, and when you're in the ministry, everybody has an opinion of who you should be. And it's not just that. In every person's life, there are a lot of people, and we happen to live in a day, honestly, where people feel free to tell every opinion they have about everything. And so criticism can undermine your security. Here's the third one, and I think this is definitely comparison. We live in the day of comparison. Levi Lusco says that we actually have devices that enable comparison constantly. Like, we actually have telephones that I can pick up a telephone and look on that telephone, look on Instagram or on Facebook, and compare myself to everyone else, and their life always looks better than mine. It just does. Comparison. And so let me just tell you about something that happened to me a while back. It was very interesting, and it was almost like the Lord was illuminating this. I was walking through a time in my life when, like, I was just praying, like, Lord, where am I going? And I feel like things aren't moving the way I need them to move. And then I saw a friend of mine who on Facebook put a message up, and it said, like, he was being interviewed by the news that day, and it was going to be really cool. He couldn't wait, because finally, like, the Lord was giving him some attention in the community, and they were coming to his church. And honestly, let me just tell you, like, I was like, well, no, yeah, we had the Pulse thing, and yeah, there were news crews, but what's happened in 3 years? Like, nobody's called. And, you know, honestly, like, I'm kind of walking through that in my head. I'm being really honest with you here, man. So I'm kind of walking through that in my head, and then I'm like, I'm beginning comparison my life. I'm like, why aren't people calling here? And then it was a couple of days later that I was looking on his Facebook page, and he said, oh, that didn't go the way that I thought it was going to go. They were actually coming, and they did an interview, and they blindsided me, and they attacked me in the middle of the interview. But see, here's the deal, is I was comparing my life and measuring my worth, honestly, on reading that first message, not realizing that there's heartache and pain and sorrow that is behind that message, and yet I'm comparing myself only to the good out of that first message. Comparison will undermine you and make you insecure. And here's what happens in the life of Abram. Abram, he's going into town, and what he does is he doesn't know what Pharaoh's going to say. He doesn't know what he's going to do, but yet he starts to view himself in the way he thinks someone else is going to view him. He begins to view himself in the way he thinks. He doesn't even have any real indication of how that's going to go down, but the way he thinks someone else is going to think about him. And so he starts to make decisions. So here's what happens in your life and in my life. We begin to make decisions based on what we think other people think about us. Has a dramatic effect on each of us. But what we have to start to know is you have to know not what other people have to say about you. You can't lose sight of what God has to say about you. Abram lost sight of God's message, of God's call, of God's promise that he's going to be great. And like, if seriously, like, if he had true confidence in God, listen, Pharaoh is not going to kill you, because God's promise is, like, you're going to be great. Your children are going to be like the sands of the sea, the stars of the sky. Trust God on the sands, because the stars are still coming. And so you have to know what God has to say about you. So here's the first thing I'd like for you to just write this down, if you would. You have to know your true identity. Know who God says that you are. We spend so much time focusing on our problems that we fail to focus on the God of the problem. We spend so much time focusing on what's being said. We spend so much time focusing on what we are not that we miss who God is making us into be. So know who God calls you to be, and here's how you can do this. And this is four words that you can apply to your life. You're chosen. Somebody say, I'm chosen. I'm chosen. I'm chosen by God. I'm chosen by God. Listen, I'm not here at Christ Church of Orlando because I just needed a job. I'm not here at Christ Church of Orlando just because I was wanting to live in Orlando. I was chosen and directed by God to live here, be here in this generation, start this church, and be on this corner. And listen, it's not just for me. You're chosen by God. This is your time. God appointed you. Of all generations you could be in and of all the places that you could be in, He has you here at this moment because there's something, there's a call on your life. There's some greatness that He wants to work on in you, and He has chosen you for the future. You're chosen. You're loved by God. Many times in our life we struggle because we make God's love about our circumstance. Like we start to view whether God loves us based on the circumstance. Like, God, if you loved me, why is it going down this way? God, if you loved me, you would change that. God, if you loved me, you'd do for me like you did for the people on social media. God, if you love me. And so we begin to view our circumstances and view God's love based off of our immediate circumstance. God is not tied to your circumstances. God's love is not tied to your circumstances, and God's love is not tied to your performance. God's love is tied to His cross. And His cross is what says that you're loved. We need to be reminded that God's love, and some of us need to spend some time and say, okay, Lord, I got to get my focus off of my circumstance and get my focus on You and Your love for me. Here's the other thing that you can do is remind yourself that you're called. You're called with a purpose. You're called. You might not be on a staff in a church, but let me just tell you, you have ministry inside of you. You have something that God wants to do inside of you. And here's the last one. You're equipped. God has equipped you. It doesn't mean that you don't have to be developed. It doesn't mean that there's some things that you're going to have to get refined. But I love this, and I said this last week, and I hope you'll grab this again today. God had made a promise that Abram was going to be the father of a nation. Isaac had not been born yet. Ishmael had not been born yet. But the seed of that nation was already inside of Abram. The thing that God wants to do in your future, it's already inside of you. The thing that God wants to do through you, it's already inside of you. There might be a work and there might be some placement that He wants to do, but He has His eye on you, and He's equipping you for your future. God prepares us. So the thing that I want you to really know today is that God has a plan. You should know that comparison kills. There are many things that we do in our lives that we compare ourselves to other people. But here's the last thing I want you to take away from this today, and that is vulnerability is vital. In order for you to walk in a place where you're getting your insecurities fixed and where you're getting to the place where you at least acknowledge them and realize that God wants to deal with them, you can't compare yourself to other people, and then you're going to have to be vulnerable, which means you're going to actually have to talk about them. You're going to have to talk about, I'm vulnerable in this place, I'm insecure in this place. That's why I think you ought to be in a group. I think you ought to be around people who love you, people that you can share your heart. Some of you today, you walk under condemnation. You're like, if people really knew me, if people really knew what was in my heart, if they knew what I've been through, if they knew the things that I've done in my life, they would reject me. And you know what that does? It keeps you in that place of insecurity from ever being able to step forward with security that God loves you and He's going to lead you to where you're supposed to go. Listen, it's not just that. There are some people here today, you think that you're hiding the stuff inside of you from God. Like, if God only knew what was in my heart, He wouldn't love me. Hey, He already does. And He loves you. So you have to believe what God has to say about you. Here's what Proverbs 29:25 says. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. The Apostle Paul says these words, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. So here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Start to work on the places of insecurity. That doesn't mean, honestly, it doesn't mean anything more than relying on God, that God knows that they're there, and that's where your feet are standing, and that He can use those things even to be glorified in your life. So here's the way I'm going to ask you to address them. Do it through His Word. Get into the Word. Find out what God has to say about you. Find out what God has to say about you even though you're flawed. Find out what God has to say about you and what He wants you to do in your future, even if you have insecurity that it cannot derail you. Find out what God's Word has to say about you. And then spend time with God in His Spirit. And you can do that through prayer and worship. But here's what it says in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Your eye hasn't seen, your ear hasn't heard, it hasn't even entered into the heart of man. As much as you've imagined, as much as you've dreamed, as much as you think God has a call, it hasn't even entered in your heart. And the enemy would love to say, hey, listen, it's too late. You're too flawed. I'm here to tell you today that God loves you and his promises have not failed. And he's going to get you to where he wants you to be. I'm going to pray for you in these next few moments. And I believe that God's raising up some people here at Christ Church of Orlando. And I believe that God is going to do something through you and through me that's going to make a difference in this generation and in our city and in your families, because there's a call on your life. And it's not what other people say of you. It's not what your past says of you. It's what God says of you. Will you pray with me today? Dear Heavenly Father, I come before your throne and I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I thank you, Lord, that you've placed down inside of us heart and vision. And Lord, for every person that's here that yearns and knows that you still have something yet ahead of them. And the enemy would love to lie to them and steal that dream from them. I'm asking you, dear Lord, that you will be equipped, they would be equipped by your word to know who they are in you, to know their identity in you. And dear Lord, that your spirit would come and strengthen them and refresh them. And that the vision would be awakened in their life that they have not seen or heard yet what you have for their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Will you stand together with me this morning?